you point blank yesterday said, I was a draft dodger.
That's right.
just point blank. That's it. And my response was, good for you. Fuck their war. which is interesting because I was born in 1961. So I still had to register.
And you were on a, you had a number, right?
I'd never got a number. No. We didn't have a war at the time. So I turned 18.
Yeah,
in 1979, right. But at the time I thought, should I register as a conscientious objector? I remember pondering that, and I thought, well, you know, how is that going to look in the future, and what would I tell them, and, you know, there's no war, so I don't really have to worry about it. But I did, I do recall at the time there was something inside me that thought, you know, I do not want to fight in their wars. There being the people, the war planners, or as Ginsberg called them, the scholars of war. Mm. My dad said something very interesting when I told him at one time I was considering joining the army. He said, the army is for someone without a future. That's what my dad said, which is pretty left wing for a guy who was a blue collar Democrat, you know, for him to say that. And I know just saying that probably pisses a lot of people off just to say that. So you decided right away, fuck their war, I'm going to Canada.
Well, not really. If you want to hear the whole story, when I graduated from college, I went to Harper, or from high school, I went to Harper College in Binghamton, which was at the time was the only liberal arts college in the State University of New York. And I went there for a year. I wanted to be a psychoanalyst. And I went there for a year, and I didn't really have a good time. I enjoyed my art history course, and I enjoyed English. But I hated psychology. I kind of had this vision of what college would be like, and it wasn't really what I thought it would be. I was just remembering today, recently I read an appreciation of John Dos Passos, USA. And when I was in high school, we had to write a senior essay, and I wrote my senior essay on John Dos Passos.
That was our first clue right there.
And actually, I was really pissed because I kind of wrote it in his style. I was really pissed because I didn't get the award for the top essay. My buddy got it. He wrote about Camus, and he included, right at the beginning, he included a passage quoting from something of Camus in which there's a car crash, and I think the guy is killed. So it's like a pre-shadowing of his own demise, of Camus' own demise. He was killed in a car crash.
Right.
And he won the first prize. A lot of times I think back and I'm trying to, well, on the subject of the war. So I dropped out for a year after Harper. And I lived at home with my parents. And it was a very uncomfortable year. I had a variety of jobs, bad jobs. And at one point I contemplated joining the army, but I didn't. Then, after a year, I went to Syracuse as a transfer student, and the transfer student had to prove themselves, right, or you couldn't stay. So I did really well, and that sort of started the beginning of my college career, really, my university career. So I stayed at university until I got my master's because I wanted to avoid the draft. Then I came out and lived in Seattle for a year, still avoiding the draft. And finally, I couldn't avoid it anymore. They sort of caught up with me. That's a whole story in itself. But they caught up with me, and so I came to Canada. And at the time, of course, coming to Canada was tantamount to giving up your U.S., not citizenship, but your U.S. residency. Because there was no amnesty. Later there became an amnesty.
Thanks to Jimmy Carter.
Right. And as I say, I met quite a few draft dodgers in Canada, in Vancouver. I came right to Vancouver. And I really liked Vancouver.
What year was that?
68. So Vancouver was a small town, but it was very cosmopolitan and, you know, sort of European almost. The way Seattle was a different city. When I left Seattle was in the doldrums. they had a saying. I said, well, the last person to leave Seattle, please turn out the lights.
The Boeing bust.
Yeah. And but I didn't have any problem in Seattle. I had various jobs and made out fine. I had put myself through university by working in an art store and managing the apartment that was over the art store. So when I came to Seattle, I got a job managing an apartment building.
In the U District?
Yeah, that's right, right across from the Blue Moon.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Right on 45th.
Yeah.
So did your, well, that was 5 years after Rettke would have died, or just a couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years.
But it was still a hangout for bohemians and poets
that's
and stuff.
Right, yeah.
So did you hang out at the Blue Moon?
No, I didn't. I couldn't afford to. I didn't have money to drink.
I see. Sometimes that's a good
thing. I went in there a few times,
right.
But I didn't hang out there.
Yeah.
No, I was dirt poor, really.
And you became a teacher. Was it at the Free College?
Well, it's called the Free University.
Free University, right. Yeah. Which became the Experimental College.
Right.
And you taught poetry there.
Yeah.
And you also were the janitor there.
That's right.
And you served on the board of directors.
Yeah.
So you're, you know, multifaceted there. You got most of the whole operation covered by yourself.
Well, there was also the real manager was the secretary. She ran the place.
Yeah, as they often do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so you met people like Paul Hunter and Tom Parsons and others who, Paul's still active in poetry in Seattle.
Yeah.